Blog Talk Radio.
You are now tuned in to the Revive Radio Show with your host, Saquon King, a.k.a. D. King, a.k.a. Mr. Blood Certified. And we will be in Radio Speakers Live every Monday at 8 p.m. with music and interviews from some of the hottest urban Christian artists of today here on the Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Stay tuned.
Thank you so much for tuning in to the Revive Radio Show. I am your host, your man of the hour, blah, 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 and blizzity, blah, 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 all that jazz. This is your boy, Daquan King, a.k.a. D. King, a.k.a. Mr. Blood Certified. And I hope I am invading your speakers tonight. I hope that you will allow me to spend this hour with you. And, man, as we lift up a holy God, a magnificent God, and hopefully touch on some topics that's near and dear to your hearts. So, guys, as we always do, without holding back at all, let's get into it. Dear Heavenly Father, we lift up your holy, mighty, matchless, powerful name, your name that is above all names, your name that is above stupidity, your name that is above bad marriages, your name that is above abuse and disease, your name that is above Boko Haram, your name that is above George Bush, Obama, your name that is above Bill Clinton, your name, God, that's above Apple, your name, God, that is above our bosses, our situations, our trials and tribulations, God, your name that's above disease, God, like AIDS and cancers, God. We lift up your name, God, your name by which this earth was formed and created, God. We lift up your name, which is the light of the world and the light of men. We lift up your powerful, most holy name in this place, God, and we reverence you, Father. We reverence you, God. We lean not onto our own understandings, God. But right now, God, we want to acknowledge you because you are God and King, and there is none other than you. There's none higher. There's none lower. There's none who can consult with you, who can consult you, Father. There's none, God, who can tell you what you should do or shouldn't do, Father. There's none that you need to turn to, God, because you are the great I am, and you are the great I am, which means that you were and that you are and you is, that you do not change, Father. So we thank you for not changing, God. Thank you, Father, for sending your Son to die for our sins while we were yet, oh, God, stupid, while we were yet out there doing dumb, crazy things while we were yet not paying attention to you. You were paying attention to every hair on our heads, God. You were paying attention to the trials that we will face tomorrow and 5 years from now, God. You were paying attention, God, to who our parents would be, Father. You were lining us up, God, oh God, for this moment and this time, God. So I pray, Father, that every soul that's under the sound of my voice, every person that's listening, God, I speak into their lives right now, and I thank you, Father, for their presence, God, but I pray, Father, that their lives are lining up with your word, Father, and whatever isn't pleasing to you, Father, that you begin to reveal it to them, God, so that they can get it right, God, because now is the time and now is the hour, and God, we understand, Father, that your Son is a soon coming King. Glory to your name, God, and because he's soon coming, God, we got work to do, Father, so teach us to feed your sheep, God. Teach us to bow down our heads, God, below our hearts, God, as we lift up your holy name, God. Teach us to take off our shoes in your presence, Father, oh God, because this truly is holy ground, God. Teach us, God, to honor you, oh Father, with everything that we do, God, with our marriages, God, with our jobs, with the way that we live our lives, God, to be more integral, more honest, God, more truthful in the way that we live, God, to really shine a light, God, on who you are, God, and how grateful you are, how great you are, God. Teach us, God, to be gracious in how we entreat others, Father. Teach us, God, to love others, God, as you love us, God. Hallelujah to your name, God. God, we thank you for this hour. We thank you for your presence. I pray, Father, that you use me, God, that you speak through me, Father, that you use this time, this moment, this hour, God, to really get your message across, God, not my message, but your message, not my will, but your will, God, not my word, God, but your word, Father. Have your way, God. Speak through me, God. Use me, God. Arrest my thought life, God. Arrest my mind, my words, my tongue, God. Everything that's unclean about me, Father, burn it up right now in Jesus' name. Burn it up in Jesus' name, God, so that you can speak through me, God, and your word can, God, can come forth, Father. Oh, God, I denounce my flesh. I denounce my ways. I denounce who I am, God. Oh, God, glory to you. And I lift up your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I wish y'all could talk back with me and say amen to me. Listen, guys, over the weekend, man, I had this serious cold. I was challenged in my body, but God is bringing me through it. I'm still got this little cough challenge going on, but I'm healed. You know what I mean? I was healed. I am healed. I will always be healed. So as I go forward in the show tonight, man, y'all pray that I continue to be healed. And, you know, I believe we're going to have an awesome time tonight. I'm truly looking forward to this show. More than you know, I've been, like, hyping it up on Facebook, talking a lot about what God has been doing on the inside of me and through me. And I believe that God will reveal it in due season and in due time, learning to just trust God, man, with everything, you know. And God doesn't have to be a part of every decision that we make. Like, he's not really that concerned with whether or not you buy the red car or the blue car. But he wants you to think about him so that and whatever you do is to the glory of God. And so I'm hoping that everything that I do, man, from this day forth in my life is just for his glory. Because, you know, God got my back. He really does. And he has yours as well. So tonight, you know, we're going to talk about trial by fire. And I know y'all thought I forgot, but I didn't, because, listen, I have a reason to talk about my wife every Monday at these shows. Like, trust me, it's not something that I just do when it's a show that's going on. Like, I look forward to the opportunity to lift her up and to give her praise. And listen, guys, husbands, anything that you praise, it magnifies. Whatever it is that you praise in your life, magnifies in your life. If you love your car and you're always washing it and cleaning it, that car magnifies. The value of that car to you goes up. So if you got a scratch on that car, you'd be able to tell it. As big as the car is, you get a scratch on the fender, just the area that you don't even look at often, you know it's a scratch there. Why? Because you put so much time, focus, and attention into it that you can tell when there's something different about it. Listen, guys, we have to be that way about our wives first before anything else. You know, if it's not God, it's your wife, period. And I want you to know, man, that's how I feel about my wife. You know, I don't want to see no scratches on her. Matter of fact, like, I'm ready, you know, fists and elbows, let's get it. Because she matters to me. She's important to me. And I believe that God has blessed me to be a part of her life. And she's just a blessing to me, you know. And I'm grateful for her, man. I mean, she's just worthy of so much honor. She's a woman of true virtue and value. And, you know, I never have to worry about what she's doing when I'm not around. You know what I mean? And she carries herself. Like, she carries herself, honestly, like she's a queen. I mean, I know she, you know, her last name is King and all that, but she really does carry herself like she's royalty. Any of y'all that know my wife, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you're just hating. You need to stop hating with your hating self, you know, and get a life, you know, go get you somebody. Because, you know, I'm telling the truth, my wife truly is royalty, and that's just how I feel. You know, if you don't like that, that's fine. That's your business. I don't care. I really don't care. I really don't care. But I got a good thing, and I plan to keep a good thing. I really do. So, God, I'm just grateful for my wife. Guys, I really am, and I'm grateful for y'all for tuning in. Really am. So, listen, man, this show tonight, man, we're going to talk about trial by fire. There's a lot I want to talk about tonight and a lot I want to get into, but, you know, as we always do before, before we get into the deep part of it. You know, we like to play a little bit of music for you. So I got a little bit of D King, then I got a little bit of worship for tonight, and then after that, the next voice you'll hear will be none other than. Nah, let me stop. Hey, but y'all stick with me. Stay tuned. Let's get into it. God is good, man. God bless y'all. Let's do it.
I know your forecast is gloomy. More drama in your life than the mud deer you're moving. Been so down lately, nobody knows your struggles. Patience running thin, about to pop like a bubble. Say you're sick and tired of people telling you lies. You wanna run away to a place with blue skies, where no one can induce the tears in your eyes. But every time you run, you find yourself crying. I know it's hard when your sun don't shine, but it's 4 a.m., man, your sun gon' rise. Just don't lose focus, your hope is approaching. Remember your afflictions, I fuck for a moment. I know it's easier said than done, but you can't win the race if you ain't prepared to run. Man, along with the promise, persecution must come. So grab your umbrella as we wait for the sun. Let's go. I promise it gets better. So just take your mind off it. Let God work it out. Cause it ain't your battle anyway. Plus when you try to help God, you end up in the way. You take this opportunity to grow with faith. Cause in this world you have some trials. OJ, I mean okay. Forgive me, OJ. No, I don't love you, but it seems like you've been led astray. Just like the rest of us, we only catching up. Cause ain't no bitch in a little sin when your time is up. There's only yes and no. There's only high and low. And these are just distractions. What you know, be diligent and go, be vigilant and hope.
Let your glory fill this place. Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle and purify our hearts. Surround us in this place. Want you to breathe new life within us. In a refreshing love, purify our hearts. Let your glory fill.
Let your glory fill this place.
Let your all-consuming fire,
purify our hearts.
Surround us. Let's ask for the rain tonight. Let's ask for the rain. Say rain.
Yo. Hey, thank you guys for sticking with me through the song. We are back. I'm just sitting here just cracking up because I just played the song. First song was "You're Throwing More Last Always." And then the very next song is "Let Your Glory Fill This Place, Rain On Us, Rain On Us." And you know what's crazy is sometimes, you know, we want the rain, but we don't want the rain. You know, we want God to rain on us, but we don't want the thing that Jesus had to go through, which was the rain. And, you know, there's a verse, actually, I wrote that says, how you going to reign with Christ if you can't handle a little rain in your life? And in order for us to truly reign with him, we have to go through rain. We just don't do that. Like, that's scripture. The Bible tells us that we have to suffer with Christ. And it's not that God wants you to suffer because he don't like you. Nah, man. Well, we're going to get into that. Actually, that's exactly what we're going to talk about tonight. So it kind of threw me off a little bit just because, you know, I'm playing a song about "You're Still Gonna Last Always," and, you know, the rain is soon going to be over. And then the very next song, we crying out to God, "Lord, rain on us." Well, you know, yeah. Anyways, let's get into this. So tonight we're going to talk about trial by fire. And, you know, Holy Spirit, just God help me with this. God help me with this. Because the way that God revealed this to me, I want to give it to you the way he gave it to me, but I feel like he's going to give it to you guys a little different from how he gave it to me. That's what we would call technical difficulty. I just dropped the microphone. Bear with me just a moment here. Okay. All right, I'm back with you guys. Apologize for that. Just dropped the mic. Don't know how I did that. But, all right, we're back. So, 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." That's going to really be our springboard scripture for tonight. I'm going to pray real quick. Holy Spirit, have your way. Think through my mind, speak through my lips. I decrease, Father, that you may increase, Father. We know that heaven and earth will pass away, God, before your word will fail. God, your word is exactly what we need in this moment, in this hour, God. Your word that was and is to come, Father. So we ask, God, that you reveal your word to us in a way, Father, that maybe we haven't seen it in before, or maybe it's just a time for us to be reminded of your word, God. So, God, whatever you do, God, you do it, Father, and we will decrease, God, to hear and sit at your feet tonight, God, as you speak, as you have your way. We surrender to your presence, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this opportunity, this time, this moment, God, this day, God. We give you thanks, God. I don't think we thank you enough, God. So we just give you thanks, God, for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so let's go back to that scripture. 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved, think it not strange. Think it not strange. Count it not strange. Count it not strange. Don't be caught off guard by these fiery trials, by the fiery trials which come to try you, as though some strange thing has happened unto you. Tonight, guys, I want to talk about these trials, these fiery trials that we go through in life. We have trials and tribulations. The Bible calls it. The Bible also calls it afflictions. These are the things that we must face in life. You know, I don't know what your trial is. It could be a financial issue, a health issue, a baby daddy issue, a baby mama issue. You know, you could have like a marriage issue, a marriage trial. You could have a work trial. Maybe you got a boss or a coworker or a team lead that's just like, you know, always watching over your shoulder, giving you a hard time at work, not really allowing you to just do your job. Maybe they're pushing you in a certain area and it's unfair. Maybe it's not right. Maybe you're dealing with some family issues. Your children are just acting up. Maybe your husband or your wife isn't loving you the way that you want to be loved or respecting you the way you want to be respected. Maybe your in-laws are too much into your business and not allowing you and your spouse to really be one and to lead and cleave and grow together. Maybe you got some sickness in your body that you been dealing with. You know, maybe it's cancer. Maybe it's a real serious disease like unto death, or maybe it's just a cold or cough that hasn't went away. Maybe you're trying to get rid of pornography in your life. Maybe you're trying to get rid of cigarettes or something that came on your life when you were young. Maybe you went through, you were exposed to something when you were young, and because you never dealt with it when you were young, you didn't have the proper people there to help you get out of those situations. You grew old, and you're still dealing with the same thing that you were dealing with when you was 10 to 12 years old. Maybe you got some brother and sister issues. You know, maybe you and your brother haven't talked in a long time. Maybe you and your father haven't talked in years. Maybe you didn't have a father. You grew up without one. And so, you know, you have these emotional issues as a man, and you don't know how to love other people or even love yourself because you were never taught that type of love that a father is supposed to teach a son. And maybe you didn't have that type of structure growing up in your house. And maybe you got some problems with your mom. You know, maybe she's just too much into your business. She won't let you be a man, and she won't let you be a woman because she hasn't let go yet, because she doesn't know how to let go. Maybe she don't have somebody that she can cleave to if she let you go, and she doesn't know how to have a single home by herself because all she's ever known for the last 17, 18 years was you in her life. Who knows what your trial is? Everybody has some kind of trial, and if you think that you are without a problem and you are without a trial, or that you're not facing something, or you're not going to face something, you are deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. But most of us, we already know what our trials are. We know, most of the time, you know exactly what your thorn in your flesh is. Ain't no question about it. You know what you're dealing with. Maybe everybody else don't know what you're dealing with, but you know what your thorn is. You know what? You got a problem with eating. You can't stop. You can't put them donuts down. Every time you drive by Krispy Kreme and you see that red light on, you got to pull over. You know what your thorn is. Don't act like you don't know. You know what your issues are. And God knows, too. And maybe you're at this place where you're like, you know what? I'm done. I'm done with this. I don't want it in my life no more. And you're asking God, why? Why won't you take this thing away from me? I came to you over and over again. God, take this thorn out of my flesh. Why won't you take it from me? Why won't you help me with this weight issue? I've been trying to lose this weight over and over and over again, and all my friends skinny, but I can't seem to get skinny. I can't seem to gain weight. It's crazy how people who are skinny want to be big, and people who are big want to be small, and people who are married want to be single, and people who are single want to be married. It's crazy, ain't it? It's like we're always going after something that, instead of just learning how to be who we are and just trust God with what we got. That's another subject, though. That's a whole other subject. That's not even what I want to talk about right now. I want to talk about that thing, whatever that thing is. Whatever that trial is, whatever that issue is that's poking at you, that's frustrating you, that's hard. It's got you walking around with a limp, but nobody can see you limping because it's internal. They don't know that when you get to work and you got a smile on your face for 8 hours, but when you drive home, you got tears in your eyes. I've been there working 8 hours a day and then driving home with just tears in my eyes. I can't even explain the pain and the hell I'm going through because I didn't even know how to deal with it myself. I've been there. A lot of it wasn't even my fault. But I had to go through it. And why? Why? I felt like I was going to die in that trial. I thought I was going to die in that situation. Come on, man. Be honest with me. Have you ever been through something that you thought you was going to die through? I don't know how you're here today. I don't know how you made it through it. Somehow you did. Somehow something happened and you made it through it. But you're here. And the Bible is telling us, don't count that strange. That's nothing unusual. Don't look at it as if it's something that just popped up and it surprised God. So, of course, it's going to surprise you. No. No. Word of God says he knew you when you was in your mother's womb. He knows your end from your beginning. God knows. He knows what you're dealing with. And so here you are going through this trial. And you know, there's a saying nowadays, you know, the struggle is real, right? The struggle is real. No question about it. The struggle truly is real. But just as real as our struggle is, my God is even more real than my struggle. Because my struggle is temporary, but my God, man, he's eternal. Amen? He's eternal. And he was there before my struggle, and he's going to be there after my struggle. But one thing is for sure, we all have to struggle. We all have to go through something in life. And to think that you are not going to go through, especially if you are a Christian, you are truly deceiving yourself. So, beloved, think it not strange concerning these fiery trials which come to try you. They come to try you. But why? You know what? Let's just stay on that first part of that. Think it not strange concerning these fiery trials. And let's talk about fire. Let's talk about fire. So when I was a kid living in West Palm Beach, and I hope my cousin Tangie is listening to us, because we always talk about this story. She always talk about how bad of a butt whooping I got for this. Y'all, listen, your boy loved fire. I don't know why what it was. You know, I was like 3-4 years old playing with fire. It was sad. It wasn't that my mama wasn't a good mama. She was always around. She did I had a great mama. But, you know, kids gonna be kids, and I got away, and I got into stuff. And on one night, living in West Palm, I think I was maybe 5 or 6 at the time, you know, I'm in my room, and I got some matches. You know, my stepdad at the time smoked, so there was always lighters and matches around the house. And I was starting a fire in the house, up under the bed. Don't ask me why. I don't remember. I was a kid. You know, some things you just can't give it a count for when you're a kid. Don't listen to me with that face. All right? So I started a fire up under my bed, you know. You know, the excuse I gave at the time was I wanted to be a fireman. I was going to put the fire out. I'm pretty sure that was a lie. It was probably just because I love fire. I don't know why I love fire. That's what kids do. So I started a fire up under my bed. Poof, of course, you know, you start a fire. The bed going to catch on fire. So the bed is on fire in this apartment complex with my mom in the other room. Right? So, of course, the fire alarm goes off. Mom coming along, she's screaming, she's freaking out. Stepdad comes in the room screaming, freaking out, blah, blah, blah. You know, they're trying to put the fire out. And I don't remember if they actually put the fire out or if the fireman that showed up at the house put the fire out. But I know the fire was put out. But the thing about that fire was, regardless of how much I like fire, at that time, I don't think I really started to like fire that much after that. Like, you know, my love for fire kind of dwindled a little bit, you know. Anytime you start a fire and you really experience what a fire really does, what the attention that a fire attracts, you know, it's not really all that great, you know what I'm saying? So I kind of lost my luster, my love for fire after that butt whooping that my mama put on me. Like she really, you know, there was two fires that night. There was the fire under the bed, and then there was the fire that my behind was on. But what I want you to get from that is that fire burns. It causes injury. The exposure to fire causes injury. There is a burning process that happens with fire. There I go with this microphone again. Lord help me. So whenever there's a fire, there's this burning process, right? I started a fire, the bed burned, right? And then it brought attention to the room. Not only did my mom and my stepdad show up, but the neighbors showed up. Not only did the neighbors show up, but the firemen showed up. You know what I mean? And not only did the firemen show up, but my mama showed out. You know what I mean? So fire, let's take from that. Fire, one, it grabs other people's attention. Not only is it something that you have to deal with, but it's something that other people will focus on. It will affect others as well. So it didn't just affect me, but it affected my mom's sleep and my stepdad's sleep and my neighbor's sleep. It was in the middle of the night that this fire happened. So, you know, it affected everybody on that block. On top of the firemen coming, sirens, landing right at the, stopping right at the apartment complex that we were staying at. And all this attention for this one little boy with this one little fire, you know, because he had an interest, you know, a weird, crazy interest in fire. But what that fire did is it caused people to pay attention. And that's what fires do in our life. It grabs people's attention. You know, when I was going through those trials, and even though I could smile at work and I wasn't smiling on my way home, still somehow people knew I was going through something. No matter how much you try and hide a fire, that's the thing about it. When it, the Bible talks about, can a man take a fire in his bosom and not be consumed, not be burned? You can't hide your trials. There's a fire is not something that is to be hidden. Fire rages, it burns. So first thing, fire burns. Second thing, fire consumes. It didn't just stay right there in that one area. The fire actually spread throughout the entire bed, and the smoke filled the entire apartment complex. It began to consume people's attention. It consumed my attention. It consumed affections. It consumed the bed. So fire consumes. It absorbs. It covers. It surrounds completely. You see, the thing about that is that whenever you start a fire, it can be contagious. And if you don't put them out right away, they spread. I mean, I wonder how many fires you've been dealing with that you didn't put out right away. Well, how many fires you're going through right now that you haven't faced the proper way, you haven't did the proper things, because there are proper ways to put out fire. You can't really put out fire with grease, because that doesn't make sense. You know what I'm saying? There's some things that you can't put out fire with. You can't put out fire by putting a cover over it. Like, if you're going to smother it, you got to smother it good. You know, you can't just put out fire with anything. Because if you try with just anything, it may actually cause the fire to increase. That's a whole other lesson. Look, and the third thing about a fire consuming is it announces, is that you actually don't have to announce that there's a fire. I didn't have to run into my mama's room and say, "Mommy, mommy, fire, fire." No, that fire spoke for itself. You set a tree on fire, it's going to speak for itself. It's going to draw attention. But here's the third thing I want you to get about fire. One, fire burns. Two, fire consumes. But three, fire proves. And that's where I want us to rest at tonight. That's where I really want us to get to, is that fire will prove what's really on the inside of you. Fire will test what's really on the inside of you. If you set something on fire, it's gonna begin to break down everything until it gets to that core thing, that metal, that core thing, and even that will burn. It's all the way till it gets down to what's really on the inside. Fire proves, and proves, and I want to use this word proves as the word test. And the thing about a test is it's a procedure intended to establish the quality, performance, or reliability of something, especially before it is taken into widespread use. And I hope you got that. I'm gonna read it one more time. It's a procedure intended to establish the quality, performance, or reliability of something, especially before it is taken into widespread use. Could it be that God is trying to use you? God wants to use you, even in your fiery situation, but he has to burn you first? And so maybe that marriage that you're burning in is just an opportunity for God to get some stuff off of you so that he can use you? Could it be that those problems that you're dealing with in your finances, or those problems you're dealing with at work, or whatever it may be, whatever you're facing, is just an opportunity for God to burn something off of you? Hey, listen, man, God is good, ain't he? Because here it is that we're looking at the fire for what it's doing to us, and we're not looking at the fire for what it's getting off of us. Key out of the bullshit. Hey, listen. I want to focus on Daniel chapter 3. You know the story, Abraham, Meshach, and Abednego. And if you don't know the story, maybe you need to crack open your Bible a little bit. You know, just a little bit. There's three guys, Abraham, Meshach, and Abednego. As my uncle loved to say, bad Negro. But listen, these three brothers, you know, there was a rule that was set, just a proclamation that was set. It was a trap, really. The devil set a trap. He used people to set a trap. And because of their character, because of their integrity and their love for God, the trap worked. Sometimes things are going to come at you, and just because you love God, just because you are secure in your relationship with God and you're not going to let anything move you, sometimes it will actually get you in a bad situation. But hold fast. Don't run just yet. Don't run just yet, because God got you. So here it is that the enemy set a trap for them, and the trap worked because it was to get them to not serve God the way that they promised to serve God. And they was like, nah, man, we ain't doing that. We're gonna pray like we said we're gonna pray. We ain't gonna bow down to anything. We're gonna bow down to God and God only. And so here it is that the king set a decree, and because the king set a decree and they didn't obey the decree, they were thrown into a fiery furnace. And not only just any type of fiery furnace, but a furnace that was set to go up. I mean, they turned the furnace up 7 times. So it wasn't just hot. It was so hot that the people who walked them up to the furnace burned up. Not the ones that went in. The people that go in with them, they just walked them to the furnace. And they died on the way going to the furnace. That's how hot the furnace was. The fire was. And so here it is that they're going to go through this fiery trial, this fiery test. And they're bound, right? And as they're walking into the furnace, the people who had them bound, they burned. And the ropes that were binding them, they burned. But guess what? Abrac, Meshach, and Abednego, they ain't burned. Okay, what? Not only did they just not burn, but when they went to look into the furnace, to look at them to see if they were burning, they saw a fourth person in the furnace. I wish y'all could have seen me. I said fourth, but I had 3 fingers up. Never mind. That's just me. I'm crazy like that. So there was a fourth person in the furnace, right? And now we know from the story that only 3 walked in. So how come there was 4 in there? And so the man who went to the furnace, he looked in and he said, I see 3, I see 4, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God. Now, if the Son of God didn't walk in there with him, how did he get there? Look, guys, I don't know about your revelation or anybody else's teaching, but I believe that Jesus or the Son of God that they saw in the furnace with them didn't just come in with them. He was already on the inside of them. And so when they walked into the furnace, what had them bound had to release them. But here it is, the third thing that fire proves, fire tests. It's going to prove what's on the inside of you. The fire burnt. What had them bound, but what was on the inside of them had to come out as well, because the fire is going to break you down. It's like that press is going to get what's in you out of you. Come on, man. If you're on fire, you're taking them clothes off. You're taking off everything you can. You're doing whatever you can to get that fire up off of you, right? Because that fire is going to cause something in you to come out. You're going to scream. You're going to shout. There's going to be something coming out of you. And instead of them screaming and shouting and taking off their clothes, what came out of them was the Son of God. Hey, yada. Hey, the Son of God came out. Let me ask you a question. Did you know that every 7 to 10 years your body recreates itself? Like, really, there's a study, and it's proven that every 7 to 10 years, your body recreates itself. There's only like a few things that don't recreate themselves, and that's like your neurons, because a person is born with a certain amount of neurons and brain cells or whatever that don't recreate themselves. But for the most part, your teeth, your bones, your liver, your skin, your eyes, all of that stuff is recreated within 7 to 10 years. Some things actually recreate themselves within a matter of days. Within a matter of days, some things, like certain parts, like your intestines. And your intestines take 2 to 3 days to recreate themselves. But your bones, they actually take about 10 years to recreate themselves. But within a matter of 7 to 10 years, your body practically recreates itself. But the question is, what is it recreating itself from? The only thing that your body can recreate itself from is basically from what you put on the inside of it. So if you eat junk food, guess what your body is going to recreate itself out of? Yeah, you're going to have poor health because all you've been doing is putting in poor food. But if you put in healthy food, you have a healthy body. If you're drinking a lot of water because your body's made of 80% of water, you know, your veins that flow properly, the blood will flow properly through your veins, but if you're putting in the wrong things, your veins get clogged up. You see where I'm going at here? Like, a lot of the issues that we have in our body is based off of what we put in. That's why smokers have bad lungs, because they're putting nothing but smoke in their body. Come on, somebody. You'll see where I'm going in just a second. The same thing that goes for the natural man goes for the spirit man. And let me show you what I mean by this. When you feast on the word of God, you become a container or vessel for the word of God. That's why it's important that we put the right spiritual things in us. The Bible talks about if the eye be single or if it be dark, you know, because what you watch your eye goes into your spirit, man. Yeah, it is. You hear me? The Bible talks about out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, how does it get into the heart? Jeremiah said, the word of God is in my heart like a shut up, is in my heart like a fire shut up in my bones, and I cannot contain it. The word, God's word. So if in the natural what I put in my body over time, over 7 to 10 years, actually becomes who I am, eating all day is apples, apples, apples for 7 to 10 years, my body would truly become a big apple. I may not look like an apple, but everything about my body would have gotten all of its nutrients and everything from that apple. What about your spirit, man? What about what you entertain your soul with, your spirit? If all you put in your spirit is the word of God, the word of God, word of God, guess what's going to come out of you? Huh? Guess what's going to come out of you? Listen, I'm going to tie this fire piece in for you real quick. I'm going to tie this up for you real quick. Check this out. Hebrews 12:29 says, God is a consuming fire. Boom. Like, what does that mean? Okay. So Hebrews 12:29 says that God is a consuming fire. And then John 1:1 says, you're going to catch this in a second. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right. So Hebrews 12:29 says, God is a consuming fire. John 1:1 says, and the Word was God. God is a consuming fire, and the Word was God. The Word is a consuming fire. I know you can get it. All right, we'll try it again. God is a consuming fire. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All right. So could it be that when God takes you through a fiery trial, his purpose isn't to burn you, but it's to get you down to the place where all that's left is the Word of God? It's to burn off everything else? Yeah. Now notice, when Abraham, Meshach, and Abednego, they was in the furnace, the Son of God didn't come in and get them out. No, the Son of God came in. He came out of them and stayed with them. He walked around with them. They sung a couple songs. I don't know what they sang, because I don't know, you know, Hebrew. But they sung some songs. They chilled. They told some campfire stories. Roasted some marshmallows. Prayed. Fellowship. What was on the inside of them came out. Now the fire, the word of God is a consuming fire. God is a consuming fire. A consuming fire is God. Hey. So if God is an all-consuming fire and the word of God is an all-consuming fire and you're going through a fiery trial, you know how firemen fight fires? Let me help you out. When there's a big raging forest fire, yeah, they put some water on it. Yeah, they build some stuff on it. But what they do on the outskirts of that fire is they go and they set little small fires. Because if you really want to get rid of that fire, you got to set another fire. Ooh. Maybe the reason you burning so much is because you ain't got that burning fire on the inside of you. See, because that burning fire, see, and this is where it goes back to what Jeremiah says, that the word of God is a fire in my heart. He's like a fire shut up in my bones that I cannot contain. See, the thing about fire is that you can't really contain it if it's on the inside of you. And so Jeremiah had that fire on the inside of him. And so when he went through fiery trials, all it did was break down all the way down to the fiery core that's on the inside. So what got you bound? That's the question. What are you going through? Because even though you're going through this furnace, you're not, God isn't saying, all right, I'm going to take you out of this. No, I'm going to burn what's on you off of you. All that anger, I'm going to burn that off of you. I'm not going to take you out of this furnace. But that anger, that's what had you bound throughout the process. Before you got into this furnace, way before you came into this trial, you had that anger issue. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to let you go through this, but I'm going to get that stuff off of you. Because when you come out of this, you ain't going to come out the same way that you went in. Hey. So I'm going to burn that fire off of you. I'm going to burn that lust spirit off of you. I'm going to burn that slothfulness off of you, that lying spirit off of you. I'm going to burn all that addiction off of you. I want to burn. I got to burn this stuff off of you because when I look at you, I want to see me. And if you got me on the inside of you, if you get this word on the inside of you, when everything else burns away, it can't burn the word of God. When everything else is burning around you, what's going to come in? What's in you is going to come out of you. Amen. Amen. Check this out. Isaiah 6, chapter 6, verse 5 says, Then said I, I'm sorry, guys, listen, I grew up listening to and reading King James. Like, my grandmother had me reading King James Bible when I was a kid. I had to remember scriptures, and there wasn't no NIV at the time. There was no, I don't even know if there was New King James in our house. It was straight those big Bibles that you put on the family table. Yeah, that's what I read. That's what I learned from. So that big family King James Bible, that's me. I'm used to it. I can go to New King James from time to time, but check this out. So Isaiah 6, verse 5 says, Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim angels unto me, having a live coal fire in his hand, which he had taken with the tongues from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Check this out. Isaiah says, I'm a man of unclean lips. He's standing before God. He's the prophet of God. He's the mouthpiece of God in the land. And here he is in the presence of God. And all he can do is acknowledge the fact that I'm a man of unclean. He didn't say my hands are unclean. He didn't say my mind is unclean. He didn't say my body is unclean. Let me go take a shot. Well, he said I'm a man of unclean lips. But the way that they cleansed his lips, the way that they cleansed his lips, the angel went and got a hot coal and put it on his lips. And the Bible says that the sin was purged. Not his lips, but the sin. Not his mouth, the sin was purged. The fire that you're going through, whatever it is, whatever your fiery trial is right now, God is trying to purge that sin out of you. Serve a good God, man. He ain't trying to burn you up. Yeah, it's hard. But God ain't trying to kill you. Yeah, it's tough. But God don't want you to die here. No. The suffering we deal with, man, that's rough for a moment, but there is a much further, much heavier weight and glory that's on the other side. Surely not strange. There's more in store. God got you, man. He loves you. But he's trying to get you down to a place where he can use you. And there's some things that's on us that God got to get off of us. And I'm telling you, when I was going through my situation and my trial, listen, guys, listen. It wasn't because I was perfect. There was some sin in my life that God was trying to get rid of. And the only way he could get rid of it was to take me through a fiery trial. Hallelujah. And I love it because further in the chapter, this is Isaiah 6, further in the chapter, Isaiah 43:2 says, God overtaken. You go through the flood and you won't drown. And then he says, you go through the fire and you won't be burned. Yeah, you're going through a fiery trial, but it's not to burn you. It's to burn what's on you off of you, man. That's why it's so important for us to get this consuming fire on the inside of us. Because once what's on me gets burned off of me, then God can go ahead and use me from the inside out. Hey, God is good, ain't he? Oh, man, I don't even know if I'm going to have enough time to finish this. Hallelujah. Listen, I'm going to go ahead and end this right real quick. I'm going to tell you a quick story. When I was a kid, my grandfather used to go around and he'd collect copper wires, right? Tin cans, glass, any little thing that he could collect and sell for money. He had a job, but that was kind of like his little side hustle, you know? And the thing about those copper wires that he would take, and I would love when he would get those, because he would go in the backyard and he would burn the copper wires. And anybody that was born in the 80s or 70s or 60s, y'all know exactly what I'm talking about. United babies, y'all probably don't understand nothing about this right now, but they take the copper wires, they put it in the fire, and there'd be all these little beautiful colors coming off the copper wire, right? All these beautiful colors. But at the end of it burning, what was left was the copper. There was plastic and stuff that was on the copper that had to be removed in order for him to sell it, because the value was different with the plastic on it than it was with it off. It was worth less. It was worth less. Less. L-E-S-S. It was worth less with the plastic on it. But when the plastic was burnt off of it, it was worth more. He put it in the fire to get what was on the inside out. God is good, ain't he? He's putting you on the fire because what's on you right now has you worth less. But he knows that you are worth more. Yeah. Malachi 3:3, we'll end with this, says, he will sit as a smelter and a purifier of silver. Basically, he will sit as a refiner of silver. He will purify the sons of the Levites and refine them like gold and silver, so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. God says that God will sit as a refiner, and he will fix his eyes. He will fix his eyes on the silver. He will fix his eyes on the gold. And here's the thing about this, what a refiner does. He puts the silver in this big silver pot, and he burns it, right? But he has to sit there and watch it. He can't just walk away. He can't walk away and go and do his own thing. No, he has to sit there and watch it, because once the silver gets to a certain heat, a certain degree, he had to take it off the fire, or else it would lose its value. That's a preach right there. He ain't going to let you burn too long, because if you burn too long, you're going to lose your value. So God knows exactly what he's doing. He the Bible says he sits as a refiner. He's watching you. But here's the part I really want you to get here, and then we're going to close on this. This is the beautiful part. Man, this is amazing. This is going to blow your socks off. This is what the refiner does. He sits and he watches, right? But as soon as the silver gets to the right degree and all that's impure of the silver begins to rise to the top and he's able to scrape it off, you know how he can tell that the silver is pure? The refiner stands up and looks into the silver, and he knows it's pure when he can see his reflection. He knows it's pure when he can see his reflection. God is allowing you to burn. And the Bible says, Malachi 3:3, the Bible is telling you that he sits as a refiner. He's sitting and watching. He's sitting and waiting. While you're burning, he's sitting. That's all the Lord. Hey, sitting. He's sitting and waiting. He's sitting and waiting. He's watching you. And he knows when the heat is just right. You know how he knows? Because he'll be able to see his reflection in you. God is burning some things off of you today. I need you to know, I need you to go back and look at your trial and look at it differently. This ain't the time to get out of the problem. Man, he's not coming to get you out of it. He's coming to sit with you and walk around with you and sing some songs with you and burn some incense with you and make some marshmallows with you, whatever it is. He's coming with you. He wants to be right there in the furnace with you because he's looking for his presence and he knows there's some things on us that got to be burned off. Let it go, whatever it is. It's time to let it go. The quicker you let it go, the sooner the fire will subside. The quicker you let that anger go, the sooner the fire will subside. The quicker you let that frustration go, that lust spirit go, that pornography go, the quicker you stop arguing, the quicker you stop fighting, the quicker you stop holding the things in your heart against people, the quicker you start being nice to people, the quicker you begin to be gentle with people, the quicker you let people into your life and you begin to love people but the way God wants you to love people, not the way you want to love people. The quicker you start reading some books about your finances and stop praying that God help you out with them without you actually getting some knowledge on it, the quicker you do something about your trial, not the trial, but yourself, the quicker we work on ourselves. I'm telling you, man, God got you. He's not going to let you burn. But he will let that thing that got you bound burn off of you. He will let that thing that got you bound burn off of you. Hey, and listen, God, thank you so much for sticking with me in this hour. I'm so happy that you tuned in. I'm so happy that you listened. I got like 20 seconds left. I pray that the word of God that has been spoken, that it will plant a seed in your heart. It calls you to just grow, man. It's time to grow. It's time to grow. It's time to love each other. I love you, God. I pray that God continues to bless you. This is it, man. God is good. Amen.